The Bible has a lot to say about memorials and remembering, and there really is a lot of power in this concept of remembering. In fact, just to give you some idea here, and again, this is not, I'm not going to elaborate on all this because I just don't have time, and again, because there are kids in here, you know, I don't want to, I'm trying to help them. I'm going to try to help them by not talking too long, all right? But I'm not promising. I'm doing my best, all right? But notice some of the scriptures here in Exodus 12 and verse 14. God says this, so this day shall be to you a memorial. This is talking about the Passover. And again, we won't go into all the detail about that, but the Passover was the thing, what celebrated when Israel was delivered from Egypt. As that was taking place, they had Passover, and then it was a feast that was celebrated thereafter. And it says this, so this day shall be to you a memorial. And you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinance. And so God instituted a memorial. Now notice another example of this. Leviticus 23:24, speak to the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath rest, a memorial, a blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. And then a third example, but there's many more. Joshua 4:7, it says, then you shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, when it crossed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial to the children of Israel forever. And so God was always concerned with Israel remembering their victories, remembering their roots, remembering the victories that God brought them through. And I'll tell you, the remembering of these things, and this applies to you and me in the New Covenant as well, to remember what God has done for us. And we're going to talk about a variety of things that we are called to remember, because what it does is it fortifies our faith. In fact, I was thinking about this a little bit. You know, one of the reasons that we have problems in our society is because a lot of kids today, they don't have a solid history of family that they are aware of, that they know about, that helps them feel connected to the past, and therefore they don't know about it. Therefore, you can't remember what you don't know about. Isn't that right? And so there's no connection with the past in terms of their families. And so that's all part of the symptoms of families being broken apart and all of that kind of thing. But when you have a family that talks about what God has done, if you're believing a family, and even if you're not a believing family, you know, for example, you know, to talk about where your family came from, what nation they came from, if they immigrated here, and that kind of thing, whether they fought in wars. You know, I had five uncles in World War II, and all of them, and actually four uncles and one grandfather in World War II, and thankfully they all came back. My grandfather was a paratrooper in the Pacific, and you know, he didn't hardly ever talk about it, but I know for a fact my mother, his daughter, talked about having hand-to-hand combat with bayonets with the Japanese and things. And thank God he came back. Are you following what I'm saying? But you see, these kinds of things, these stories, these family stories, help to firm up a family in many respects. Does that make sense to you? All right, and so again, I think that's one reason why God, in a spiritual sense, really wanted the children of Israel to always remember, to always remember. We'll see more reasons why as well. What is a memorial? Now, this is from a guy, Chad Brand, from the Holman Illustrated Bible Dictionary. Notice what it says. I know it's a little lengthy, but you know I can talk fast and read fast as well, right? And so notice, it says something which serves. What is a memorial? It's something which serves as a reminder. Scripture witnesses to God's participation in human history for the salvation of God's people. Memorials to such events reinforced faith and provided opportunities for teaching. And so they reinforced faith. And that's true for you and me as well. That as we remember what God has done in our lives, in our children's lives, in our parents' lives, whatever the case may be, as we rehearse those things and we remind ourselves of the victories, I'll tell you, it causes our faith to just be enlivened, if you will, and just stronger than what it would have been afterwards. Because, you know, there's something about it, something about our memories, that many times we remember bad things that happened, but we don't remember the good. Are you following what I'm saying? And I think that we need to, on purpose, intentionally remember the goodness of God. Remember how He's brought you through situations. Remember how He healed your body. Remember how He took care of that financial situation. Remembering the victories of the past. I thought so often and have shared in the past about David when he was up against Goliath. It's found in 1 Samuel chapter 17. And in 1 Samuel chapter 17, you know, David was probably just a boy of, they say anywhere from maybe 15 to 17 years of age. And many of you probably know the story, but I never want to take that for granted. He's there. He ends up coming to the battle between Israel and the Philistines. And the Philistines, finally, for many days, I think 40 days if my memory serves me, the Philistines sent out their champion. Their champion was Goliath. And you know, they say he's a giant. He's not a giant in a mythical kind of sense. He was a giant, maybe 9 foot tall or whatever. And he came out there and he would challenge and say to Israel, send out a man that he might fight me. If he beats me, then we will serve you. If I beat him, then you will serve us. And for 40 days. But then one day, David went and joined his brothers and the army and heard what Goliath had said. Now remember, he's only 15, 17 years of age. And Goliath is a man of war from his youth. And he hears what Goliath said. And of course, to make a longer story as short as possible, Saul, who was the king, who probably should have been the one to go out there, he was tall. He was like 7 foot or so tall, they say. He should have been the one to go out and challenge Goliath, but the men were in fear. The men were timid. They would cringe in fear every time Goliath would come out there. But David heard it. And David said this, amongst other things. He said, "The God who helped me slay the paw that slayed the bear and slayed the lion, that Goliath will be like one of them." So what did he do? He rehearsed his former victories, didn't he? He remembered that God brought him through as just a teenage boy and helped him slay a lion, helped him slay a bear that was trying to steal his sheep and kill his sheep. And so he said, "You know what? God's going to be just like that bear and just like that lion, and I'm going to slay him. I'm going to slay him in the name of the Lord my God of Israel." So he had faith in his God. You know, I want to encourage you today, if you don't get anything out of this today other than this, this will help you. Rehearse the victories. Rehearse what God has done in your life. Remember these things. Amen? And so for sake of time, I'll just read this real quickly here. It says, God's covenant, this is after the highlight, God's covenant name, Yahweh, was to be a memorial name. Exodus 3:15, a reminder of God's liberation of God's people. The Passover served as a similar reminder. The 12 stones taken from the Jordan's bed served as a reminder of God's provision of passage across the Jordan into Canaan land, I might add. In the New Testament, the Lord's Supper, and we're going to be partaking of the Lord's Supper today, and so you can see the correlation here. In the New Testament, the Lord's Supper serves as a reminder of Christ's sacrificial death and an encouragement of His future coming. He's coming again, amen? And then after the Scripture's given, all these memorials serve to proclaim the good news of what God has done. And so as we remember, we are strengthened in our faith. And we are enabled and empowered to go further and trust God for whatever comes against us, whatever enemy, whatever adversary comes against us, we'll have victory. Now notice now, going on with this now, that another author said this, the idea that memory is linked to personal identification with God's historic acts or words is reflected in the Hebrew word zikaron, a reminder or a remembrance. It is used of objects or actions designed to help Israel identify with a particular reality or truth. So note that. It helped Israel to identify with an event that happened in the past. To identify means to connect with it in order to feel like a belonging to that event. You belong to that historical event because it's about your people in this case. Does that make sense? And so going on with this, it says, it reads further and it says, Exodus 12:14 calls the annual festival of Passover a memorial day. The ritual of that day reenacted God's great deliverance from Egypt and helped each individual sense his or her identity as one of the redeemed. The pile of stones set beside the River Jordan, Joshua 4:7, was to help later generations remember that God acted to part the river for his people. Such memorial events, notice this, such memorial events or objects which enabled the people to identify with God's historic acts or words played a significant role in faith development in Israel. And so remembering what God has done, Remembering our God is a significant part of our faith advancement, our advancement in faith. Now think about this just for a moment. I'm not going to go a lot longer, probably another hour and we'll be done, all right? I'm just seeing if you're paying attention. It sounds like you are. Things God remembers. These are some things. These aren't everything that God remembers. You know, before I talk about what He remembers, aren't you glad that in other scriptures He talks about, for those who have accepted Christ, our sins and our iniquities He will remember no more. He will remember no more. Aren't you grateful for that? So it's not, amen, we can be excited not only about what God does remember, but we can be excited about what He doesn't remember. Isn't that right? Amen. And so first of all, God always remembers His covenants. Now, a couple of years ago, I taught an entire series on blood covenants. So you can go back on YouTube and find that if you want to, because I don't have time to go through all of that. I think it was several parts to it and whatever. And so you can come into a better understanding of the blood covenant. But God always remembers His covenants. What is a covenant? A covenant is a contractual type of agreement, if you will, sealed by blood. Sealed by blood. And of course, we are under a new covenant, aren't we? Sealed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus shed His blood in order to guarantee the covenant for you and I. Isn't that good news? Amen? He gave His blood for you to be saved. He gave His blood for you to be healed. He gave His blood for you to be set free from the bondage of the enemy. Amen? And it was holy blood. It was God's blood. Because God became man and dwelt amongst us. Amen. Acts 20 basically says that. And so God always remembers His covenants. Notice Psalm 105, 8 through 10. It says, He remembers His covenant forever. The word which He commanded for 1,000 generations. The covenant which He made with Abraham and His oath to Isaac. And confirmed it to Jacob for a statute to Israel as an everlasting covenant. And you know, in a very real way, the covenant that God established with Abraham is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Because Jesus is called the seed of Abraham. And if you are in Christ, you are the seed of Abraham. And so in that regard, this covenant, Abrahamic covenant, is the fulfillment. Jesus is the fulfillment of that. And you and I are in Jesus, or in Christ. Amen? And so He remembers His covenant. And you know, the idea of remembering His covenant isn't just that it comes to mind. If you study this out, you find out that when it says that God remembered His covenant, that means He acted accordingly. It's like when God said in the scriptures where it says, for example, He remembered Abraham. It doesn't mean that He just remembered him in His mind. How many of you know God never had him out of His mind? But when it uses that phraseology, He remembered Abraham, or there's another place that says He remembered Rachel in her barrenness. It doesn't mean that He had forgotten them. It just means when He remembered them, now it's time to act. You follow what I'm saying? The remembering meant He was going to act on their behalf. Does that make sense to you? All right, so it's not just coming to mind, because I don't know if anything ever just comes to God's mind. He's already there. He's already got it. Isn't that right? Is this making any sense to you at all? But when He says He remembers, it means He's going to act accordingly, according to that covenant that He made with whomever He made it with. And then secondly, God always remembers His promises. And so again, when we use this word remembering, we're talking about not just coming to mind, but also acting upon them. The Bible makes it very clear that His promises are sure, that His word is steadfast. Amen? Notice what it says in Hebrews 8:6. But now He has obtained a more excellent ministry. That's Jesus. Inasmuch as He is also mediator of a better covenant, which is established upon better promises. Every covenant has promises to it. They're always conditional promises in your part in keeping the covenant, but they are promises nevertheless. And so it says concerning our covenant that you and I are in through the blood of Jesus Christ, that we have a better covenant than even Israel had, established upon better promises. And notice this, I love this, 2 Corinthians 1:20, for all the promises of God are in him are yes, and in Him amen, to the glory of God through us. And so again, His promises are always yes. If they are His promises, He always says yes. He never says no. His promise that you are more than a conqueror through Christ who loved you, that's a yes and an amen. Are you following me here today? His promise that you can do all things through Christ who infuses you with strength, that's a yes and an amen. That promise that says, my God shall supply all my need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That's a yes and an amen. Is everybody with me here today? That promise that says, by His stripes I am healed and I'm redeemed from the curse of the law. That is a promise that is yes and amen in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And so we need to remember. Everybody say, remember. Remember these things. God always remembers His covenant. God always remembers His promises. And God always remembers His people. He always remembers His people. Notice this passage. I can't go through all these scriptures, obviously, but notice what He said in Isaiah 49, 15 and 16. He said, "Can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget, yet I will not forget you. See, I've inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. Your sons shall make haste, your destroyers, and those who laid your waste shall go away from you." And I want to submit to you today that God has not forgotten you. You might have come here today and you might have thought, "God, where are you? God, you don't know what I'm going through. God, when are you going to break through this situation for me?" I want you to know, and I believe the Lord wants you to know, that He has not forgotten you. And at the right time, the right place, it's going to happen in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, so we talked about some of the things that God remembers. He remembers His covenant, He remembers His promises, He remembers His people. Are you getting this? I know I'm going fast. Then how about things we're to remember? And these are not all the things. These are some of the things. Now remember, this remembering, we're going to see the promise of remembering in just a few moments as well. There are some things we see in Scripture that remembering really brings some power into our lives here. Notice now, first of all, believers are always to remember God. That's simple, that's basic, but you know what? A lot of times we're not remembering Him. I tell you, you can talk to people and they'll say, "Oh man," they'll be talking about all the circumstances, situations, and never once mention God. Now, I know it's okay to talk about your circumstances, especially when you want prayer. You understand what I'm saying? But you know what? The Bible talks about the bad news sometimes. For example, what comes to mind, for example, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, where He says, "At one time we were dead in our trespasses and sins, and we walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, according to the spirit that works in disobedience." And then it says, but God, who is rich in mercy, who is rich in kindness toward us. And so no matter what, wherever we came from, remember, but God. Amen? I love the right side of the butts. Amen? Because the right side of the butts, on the left side, it might talk about the trouble, might talk about the situation, might talk about what the enemy is up to. But the butt side, the right side of the butt is what God's going to do. Isn't that right? But God. Hallelujah. And so believers are to always remember God. Remember Him when your soul is cast down. Notice this scripture, Psalm 42, 5 and 6. "Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of Jordan and from the heights of Hermon, from the hill of Mizar." And so what's he saying? The writer of this particular psalm, it's not David, it's another, it's the sons of Korah, actually, writers. What are they saying? They're saying that when my soul is cast down, I'm going to remember my God. And when you remember your God, you're no longer cast down, but you are lifted up in Jesus' name. Amen? And so if you came here today and you felt cast down, you felt disquieted within you, as this says. In other words, you felt depressed, discouraged, down and out, whatever the case may be. I want you to remember your God. And remember that your God, if you put faith in what He's done, He's going to bring you through to the other side in Jesus' name. Amen? Notice this scripture, Lamentations 3, 21 and 24. The writer says, "This I recall to my mind. Therefore I have hope. Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning." Aren't you glad that His compassions are new every morning? "Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I hope in Him." Notice the first phrase, "This I recall to my mind." And when you recall Him to your mind, that hope rises up when you feel hopeless. Isn't that right? Amen. And notice Psalm 77, 11, "I will remember." I will remember. Everybody say, remember. "I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old." Again and again and again, we see in the Scripture this concept, make sure you remember. Remember what God has done in your life. Remember the victories. Remember what He said in His Word. Remember the promises, whether you have them manifested in your life yet or not. Just remember. Bring them to mind and then begin to say them out of your mouth, because all of His promises in Him are yes and amen. Amen? Amen. All right, so also, what do we remember? We remember what He has brought you out. Remember what He has brought you out of. Remember where you came from in terms of before you knew Christ, before you knew Him, and how your life was without Him. Remember that. Don't remember that in condemnation, but remember that in order so that you might just have more gratefulness, so much praise and adoration for Him that He brought you out of darkness into His marvelous light, as the Scripture says. Notice Ephesians 2, 11 through 13. It says, "Therefore remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh," Gentiles means non-Jews, "therefore remember that you," remember that you, "once Gentiles in the flesh, you are called uncircumcision by what is called circumcision." That's, you're called uncircumcised, that's non-Jew, by those that are called circumcision, that's the Jew, "made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ." All of us can say at one time we were without Christ. "At that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel," which basically means that you had no covenant with God whatsoever, "and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope." You know, without Christ, there is no hope. Isn't that right? "Having no hope and without God in the world. But now," here's the right side of the butt. Are you with me here? "But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once afar off have been brought near by the blood of Christ." Amen? And so think about this, man. I mean, we were without hope. We were without God. We were lost and undone. But God, who is rich in mercy toward us, He brought us out of that by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? Sometimes it just helps us to remember where we came out of, what God has done for us. And you know, that's what He told Israel to do over and over and over again. He tells Israel, "You teach it to your children and to your children's children, how your God brought you out of the bondage of Egypt, how your God brought you across the Jordan, how your God delivered you from your enemies." Over and over and over again, He told His people, "You teach this to your children and to your children's children," etc., so that they know what God has done in their lives, and therefore they'll have faith for the next challenge that comes their way. Amen? Amen. And so as we look at this as well, notice now from Lawrence Richards as well, it reads this way. "What we are to remember, the Old Testament call to remember, is more than an invitation to think about the past." Think about that. It's more than just an invitation to think about the past. Instead, it is a call to identify oneself with the past and to let present life be shaped by it. To allow present life to be shaped by it. As we remember God, as we remember the covenants, as we remember His promises, as we remember His goodness, our lives in the present are enhanced and brought into a greater level of faith. And so as we read on, "Israel was to remember the Lord and His commands. Such remembering implies a perspective so shaped by God's words that obedience results. Israel was also to remember their state of slavery in Egypt, as I just mentioned to you in many scriptures for them, and all that God did to deliver them." Again, remembering suggests identification in such a way that one enters into the historic reality and recognizes oneself as a redeemed person. Failure to remember implies failure to take one's place among God's people and can be equated with disobedience. Failing to remember, if you're going to identify, if you're going to take your place, remember what He's done. Remember how He's brought you through. Amen? And so again, remembering, what are believers supposed to remember? Remember the Lord your God. Notice now the next one. Remember God's commands, His words, and His promises. Many scriptures for that. I love this, though. I just had to share this promise. Many of you know it. Psalm 103, 1 through 5. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not." Forget not means remember, right? "Forget not all His benefits." Would you agree with me that it's beneficial to serve God? "Forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases." He's still the forgiver. He's still the healer today. "Who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness." Did you know that He loves you and He wants to be kind toward you and tender mercies? "Who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." And so again, these promises, and again, I know it's a psalm of the Old Testament, but nevertheless, remember Hebrews 8, 6, we read it already, that we have a better covenant established upon better promises, even better than that. And then how about Psalm 103 in verses 17 and 18, "But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear Him," or reverence Him, "have awe for Him, and His righteousness to children's children, to such as keep His covenant, and to those who remember His commandments to do them." And see, again, even in that passage, you can see the connection between remembering and doing. remembering and doing, remembering and acting. As we remember His commands. What's His command? He's only really got one command under this New Testament. That's to love with the love of God. To love God, to love others. Isn't that right? That's the command. And I know I'm running out of time. Believers are also to remember the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So many things to remember. Remember when Jesus had the Last Supper with His disciples? He said to do this in remembrance of me. As He gave of the bread and gave of the wine. He said, do it in remembrance of me. Even Jesus recognized the power of remembering. The power of remembering. Notice now, it says, remember the tears at the Garden of Gethsemane and the sweating of drops of blood. I don't know if all of you realize that. He actually, in the garden, the night that He was taken by the soldiers in the garden, He had such pressure that He was actually bleeding from his temples, bleeding from his brow, if you will. And then also remember the soldiers arresting Him during the night. Remember the mock trial, the false witnesses and the false accusations. Remember the stripes on His back and the crown of thorns on His head. The stripes brought you healing. The crown of thorns brought you peace of mind. Remember the nails in His hands and feet and His pierced side. Remember He was forsaken of the Father when He was made sin for us. Remember He was forsaken so that you and I could be accepted. Isn't that right? Aren't you glad that you and I now are accepted in Christ because He was forsaken? Amen? That's something to be grateful for today and to remember this today. Remember His cruel and agonizing death on the cross. And man, I'll tell you, I don't know if we can really even fathom what that was like at all, really. Amen? Remember the rending of the veil in the temple veil that separated the holy place from the most holy place. And beyond the most holy place was a sacred place that at one time the Ark of the Covenant had been there, but it symbolized at that time the presence of God. And so when Jesus died on the cross, the veil, and it was about 4 inches thick, not really a veil the way we think, it ripped from top to bottom supernaturally, signifying that now the way into God's presence is for all believers in Christ. Amen? Aren't you glad now the veil has been ripped and now we can enter into His presence? Amen. Experience the presence of God. Remember His burial in the tomb of Joseph and His mighty resurrection. Now closing this up as we partake and prepare to partake of communion together. If you didn't get your elements, you'll want to get those around the back table. But notice now the power of remembering. Just some things, and I don't have time to elaborate on this. This could be a series. But don't worry, we're not going to do a series in one day here. But notice, first of all, with this remembering, notice Jesus. Remember, He said the Holy Spirit would help believers remember Jesus' words. You remember that? He said the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, is going to come and remind you of these things. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. You might wonder, well, I don't have a good memory. First of all, stop saying that and begin to believe you've got the mind of Christ and the wisdom of God. And you've got the Holy Spirit to bring things to your remembrance in Jesus' name. Amen? And then also, remembering should lead to repentance. As you remember certain things, you remember, I need to repent of that. I need to ask God to forgive me for that. Also, remembering should lead to rejoicing. Remembering should lead to rejoicing. You know, when we're up here, or when the worship team's up here leading you in praise and worship, I hope all of you understand this is not entertainment time. This is praise and worship time. This is time to rejoice. This is time where we're remembering. And many of the songs help us to remember what God has done. Help us to remember what Jesus has done. And so as we're worshiping and praising God, it brings about a rejoicing from our heart. Not just mimicking words, not just speaking words in order to get through to the last song. No, we're rejoicing in God because we remember the goodness that He has displayed toward us. Isn't that right? So it leads us to rejoice. And remember, it's not entertainment. Don't allow yourself to be entertained. You know, sometimes people say, well, did you notice something that went wrong during praise and worship? You know, I don't know, whatever. And many times I say, you know, I didn't even know. I remember years ago, Easter Sunday, there was a bat flying around. That was years ago. Don't worry, there's no bats. But there was a bat flying around. Somebody asked me after church, did you see that bat flying around? I said, no. And then I said, I was worshiping God. What were you doing? Anyway, that's another subject. Remembering should lead to rejoicing. Remembering helps you be free from fear. I don't know if you want to take pictures of the scriptures or whatever. Of course, next week this is going to be online and all these scriptures, the PowerPoint will be on there and everything. But remembering helps you to be free from fear. Remembering should lead to understanding, and there's scriptures for that as well. And then also remembering should produce hope for the future. As we remember what God has done for us, we should have hope for the future. A lot of believers are afraid of the future. A lot of believers are afraid of what tomorrow might bring. But when we remember what God has done in the past, when we remember the victories, both in the scripture that we see with God's people, as well as things that we've experienced in our own lives, when we remember, we are not fearful, we're not hopeless, we're full of hope, and we're full of faith. Isn't that right? In Jesus' name. And so I want to encourage you today, don't be afraid and remember your God. Remember what He's done. Remember that He's the same God today that He always was. But it's so important that we remember all these good things that God has for us and what He's done for us. Amen?
We hope that you enjoyed this message and that you were truly blessed by it. If you'd like to support the ministry of Abounding Grace Christian Church, there are three ways to give. If you'd like to give online, go to our website, agcc.church, and look for the green tab on the top that says Give Online. You can also text to give by texting the amount to 518-670-4334 or download the My Church website giving app. Find our church by searching our zip code 12303, then create an account. No gift is too small, and we really appreciate all that you give. God bless you.